We're back. Apologies for missing last week's show, listeners, as I was stuck on a damn side of the road waiting for AAA for 4 damn hours. 4 hours. But on today's show, before we kick it off, all I'm going to say is F-I-R-E-D. That's what should happen to the Giants' entire coaching staff. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants or Jets, Yankees or Mets, Knicks or Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A-O-B! And please, pardon my fresh, as we bring you all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, September 16th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. You can also catch previous airings of the show. And listeners, we're also on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and the Mad Mike to answer on future shows, you can always shoot them through email to Lloyd@partmyfresh.com, or you can send them directly to the website. Apologies for missing last week's show, but we're back at it, listeners. We're back at it, and on today's show, we're going to talk the Antonio Brown saga that's going on. Is it karma that's happening to him now? Is he facing rape allegations? We're going to talk USA men's basketball, as they were a complete embarrassment in the FIBA tournament recently. We're going to talk some NFL football, as the New York Giants look abysmal, and the New York Jets, can they be in trouble because their starting quarterback has mono? So we're going to touch up on that as well. So as always, listeners, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we gotta find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lord, I'm calling you straight from Dead Life Stadium, where tonight the New York Jets season will go 6 feet under, the same way the New York Giants season went 6 feet under yesterday.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing, Mad Mike. At least one team is not as much of an embarrassment as the other team. Because the Giants, I mean, I thought they would be better than what they're showing out on this field, but this team is abysmal. Abysmal. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, Mad Mike. But let's talk about USA men's basketball, okay? And Jerry Colangelo, expresses dismay with Team USA turnout. And he's saying that he'll remember who didn't show up. And Team USA, Mad Mike, is going through its most embarrassing stretch in over a decade. All right? It's going to finish seventh, or finish seventh, you know, at best in this FIBA World Cup. And after dropping games to France and Serbia, breaking a streak of 58 straight wins in non-exhibition games, Team USA will not only medal for the first time since 2002, USA basketball, listen, the manager Jerry Colangelo pointed out player turnout as a reason for the disappointment and is making a note ahead of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Man, Mike, listen, they have players like Robin Lopez on his roster. Mason Plumlee was on his roster. Okay, they did have Kemba Walker. They did have Tatum. They did have Jaylen Brown. I looked at this USA men's basketball roster, and I was like, what in the all holy nonsense is this? Disgusting. And look, FIBA World Cup is far from the radar of most basketball fans. Not for nothing. I was just, you know, we talked before the show, before we got the show going, and we were saying most people's like, oh, it's FIBA, it's no big deal. But it kept creeping into the news week after week. Another NBA star will move his name from consideration to play from Team USA. First it was Anthony Davis pulling out. Then it was James Harden. Then it was Bradley Beal, Eric Gordon, Paul Millsap, Montrezl Harrell. And after starting with a roster full of 35 stars, man, Mike, the only players to remain on a 12-man roster were Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, Harrison Barnes, Miles Turner. Eventually, Team USA had to fill its outer rotation with old players who come off the bench in the NBA like Mason Plumlee and Derrick Wright. Derrick White, man, Mike. You know who Derrick White is?
No. Exactly. But he led the team in points, did he not?
Huh?
I believe he led the team in points, right? Like 15.3 points a game or something like that.
I don't necessarily think that this team went out and lost on purpose. I do believe that they did everything that they could do.
No, man. Listen, I think that we've gotten to a point, and I've said this before, and I've taken heat for saying it before, but I'm going to say it again. I don't think wearing USA across the chest means the same things to the players in the NBA anymore. The same way it means something to, let's say, Giannis playing for Greece or Dirk or, you know, Manu Ginobili. I don't think it means the same thing that it meant to those guys. I mean, Luis Scola's been out of the league for how long? And he's still playing for Argentina. It means something to those guys. I think that the players, you know, I don't want to kill them too much because some guys legitimate injuries, some guys got legitimate real miles on them. But, you know, Klay Thompson doesn't play by. He's hurt. But Steph Curry was hurt playing injuries, right? But let me ask you a question. LeBron James hasn't played meaningful basketball since April. Why is he not playing? When you talk about James Harden, why is James Harden not playing? Stage isn't big enough? You know, that's a problem I have. We're not talking about, you know, we're talking about Kemba Walker, not Kyrie Irving. We're talking about Jason Tatum. We're not talking about LeBron James as small forward. You know, we're not talking about Russell Westbrook. We're not talking about LaMarcus Aldridge. We're talking about Mason Plumlee. We're not talking about Anthony Davis. We're talking about Brooke Lopez. We can keep going. We're not talking about, you know, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. We're not having these conversations. Why? Because these guys think that they're above it. And you know what? Maybe because of who's sitting in the White House today, maybe USA across the chest doesn't mean the same thing to these guys as it has to others. You know, you say whatever you want. You didn't see anybody skipping any tournaments, FIBA, World Cup, whatever it was, the Olympics, while Obama was in office, in my opinion. So
we have talked about that before, and I threw out there, you know, if you thought that it could have been because of our current president and what's going on as to why these basketball players back out or are not accepting a challenge or don't want to be a part of this team.
You're right. And I think that when a guy like De'Aaron Fox can come out and say that basically he was foregoing the opportunity to play, what has De'Aaron Fox done in this league? What has he done to feel like he can say no to the opportunity to play on Team USA? That's what I'm talking about with these stars. And you want to know what? Regardless of what anybody says, we just saw this league is in poor hands. Say whatever you want. What I saw in this tournament is that the league is in poor hands when those other guys get older, when those other guys are not producing any longer. I'm telling you right now, we saw a glimpse into the future, and the future is not bright.
And if you're talking about key injuries, and they're saying key injuries to these types of players. Kyle Lowry, man. Right now, listen, I'm not knocking Kyle Lowry. I think Kyle Lowry is one of the better guards in the NBA. But let's face it, I wouldn't put him in the top tier guards in the NBA. And you're talking about Kyle Kuzma, who suffered an ankle injury. But you would still think that Team USA should have more than enough equipped to win a tournament. And we both agree that international basketball has greatly improved this century, all right? But no other country had more than 5 NBA players on it, man, Mike, other than Team USA. Listeners, I'll repeat that one more time. No other country have more than five players on the current roster except Team USA. And maybe the good news for Team USA after the FIBA World Cup is that because they will finish second among countries from America, they've actually qualified for the Olympics, Mad Mike. So there's no need to compete in more qualifying tournaments.
Well, I'll ask you a question because it's also something that I feel like all these players that felt like they were too good for this tournament, why would you turn to them for the Olympics next year? Why do they deserve to play in the Olympics when they play no role in qualifying for it?
Yeah, Colangelo was saying that he's not, you know, he's kind of like, all right, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember that you guys turned it down. So maybe he's going to look to guys like Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, a lot of the younger guys. Who knows? But will those guys even want to take part in something like this?
I'll be honest. I don't think he's going to do it because you don't want to be the guy that you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be the guy that lost. You don't want to be associated with that. And that's the problem I have. This is the biggest issue no one's talking about is, remember how Colangelo and Pop and Jeff Van Gundy got so involved in Team USA? It was off the strength that fifth place finish. Remember the Stephon Marbury, Larry Brown?
Mello on that team too?
Yeah, LeBron, all of them, where he was benching those guys, Larry Brown, because he wasn't ready to turn over the face of USA basketball over to those guys. And that's where Jerry Colangelo and Greg Popovich came in to save the product. And that's why I don't think if they can't save it and they can't, well, what kind of message does it send the world that they can't convince their brightest and best to participate in these tournaments? It's a joke to me. But I mean, you know what, man, whatever. In the end of the day, I'm just the old man crying on the porch.
Listen, Colangelo was saying going forward, this is quoting him. He's saying going forward for USA basketball, we're going to need cooperation of teams, agents, and you know, and then there has to be communication with players on one-on-one to solidify those commitments. And he also was quoted as saying, I'm going to be anxious to see how many players reach out early to indicate that they wish and want and desire to play. But like you were saying, Mad Mike, that desire seems to be going down the toilet. And how Team USA handles its roster next year will be crucial to avoid an embarrassment again.
Lord, you have to really stop and think about things, right? These guys are making more money now than they've ever seen before. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about just record-breaking contract after record-breaking contract. These guys are not trying to play basketball in the summertime. They're not trying to do anything to advance Team USA. They're out there living their lives. They're like, yeah, man, I play all year. I work hard for this contract. I'm going to enjoy my money. They have no interest in that. America is ruled by the almighty dollar, right? These players are showing you that. They're saying, I'm handling myself no different than anybody else in this country.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a sad time because it doesn't even mean that much to me now at this point, Mad Mike. At one point, it used to mean a lot to me. Now, I'm like, whatever. I really am. But still, for us to have as many solid players on NBA teams, this is still an embarrassment either way. Because if we send out our second tier guys, man, Mike, that still should be good enough to beat the rest of the world. But when you see players like Mason Plumlee and Robin Lopez, and I'm not knocking those guys, but I'm just saying, come on, man.
Is that really the best in the world? You see what I'm saying? We're talking about, was Robin Lopez even a top five center? He's not even better than his brother. You didn't even get the good Lopez on a roster. You know what I mean? Think about that.
I'm sorry. Not Robin. Brooke Lopez was on the team. I'm sorry. Sorry, listeners. I kept on saying Robin. I correct myself. It was Brooke Lopez, Mad Mike, not Robin. Brooke Lopez is on his team.
Okay. Still remains the same. Is he a top five center in this league?
I agree with you. That, you know, I agree.
It's still, he doesn't play defense. He's no longer got an inside game. He's more of a outside. He's more of a stretch. I guess you could say he's more of a world type big man.
He's a role player. But, he's a role player on Milwaukee.
But exactly. So if you're bringing role players from NBA teams, Team USA, I mean, what are we talking about? What do we expect is going to happen? It's to me, I'm not shocked by it. And yeah, they should be embarrassed. They should. The team that went out there on the court shouldn't be embarrassed, in my opinion. It's the guys that led to those guys going out on the court that should be embarrassed. But you know, like I said, you got to ask yourself something. What does USA basketball mean to you? Like you asked in a previous show, you know, has the president sitting in office kind of taken away what you want to be associated with right now? There's a lot of things to think about with it. I don't necessarily know if that's it, but it's legit. Man, like,
how about somebody have some kahunas and say that? You know how much that'd mean if somebody had this platform to come out, one of the big stars like LeBron James or Anthony Davis or James Harden or Steph Curry, and say, you know what? I want to play for Team USA, but the reason why I'm not playing for Team USA is because of the idiot we have in our Oval Office, is the President of the United States.
But you want to know why they'll never do it? Because in the end of the day, the almighty dollar still runs them. It still runs their decisions. They're not going to say anything like that for the sake of now they're embroiled in some Kaepernick-type mess. And now they're worried about their endorsements and how everything's going to be impacted. They'll never say it. And it's not because they're scared. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. Who you think LeBron James is going to come out and say that, and not saying that he's afraid to, but you think LeBron James is going to come out and say that? Remember something. He's trying to be a movie star after his playing date. There's still a base that out there that you want to come support your movies, come watch your movies. You know what I mean? He's not trying to, whatever. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like I said, it's these guys are making business decisions, and the things that mean something or used to mean something. You can't tell me that Michael Jordan can put his life on hold to represent this country, and some of these other guys, you know, just can't do it.
Yeah. Well,
and even if you want to not say, LeBron has 3 gold medals and Carmelo has this many and they've done their share, what about the others? What about the other guys? What about James Harden and Russell Westbrook? What about those guys? They've never been faces of Team USA before, like LeBron has and Carmelo has and Bosh at one point. Go be the face of the team for once.
You're absolutely right.
There's a torch that is not being passed.
And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, man, Mike. But listeners, we will keep you posted. But I want to move on, man, Mike, to Antonio Brown. And I want to get your thoughts on Antonio Brown, man, Mike. Because Antonio Brown was once on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he had his antics on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers couldn't take it no more and traded him to the Oakland Raiders. And on the Oakland Raiders, he became even more of a bigger nuisance on the Oakland Raiders. First, it was his toe. All right? Then it went from his toe to he wanted to wear a particular type of football helmet. And he was fighting the NFL on a football helmet. Then he got into it with the general manager, threatened to beat the general manager up, was showing text messages between him and the general manager on social media. Then he turned around and showed something, a conversation between him and his coach, and put that on social media. He got fined, and Oakland released him, removing themselves from the contract that they had given him to make him the highest paid receiver at that time in NFL. Okay? And the New England Patriots picked him up. But let's backtrack a little bit, man, Mike. Just a little bit, because I want to get your thoughts. I say it's karma for Antonio Brown. Because now he's dealing with rape allegations. And a lot of times, I wouldn't necessarily say I side with the female, because I know sometimes women could be conniving when it comes to athletes. And this particular female that's accusing him of rape, they have pictures on social media with her resting on his chest, her resting on his back, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. But some people say that they don't see this karma. They don't. Man, Mike, this dude has done nothing but wore out his welcome in the last two places that he's been. And he's done some shiesty things. Like recording Mike Tomlin's, you know, after game speech and playing that to the public. Showing text messages between him and a general manager, putting that out in the public. Messages between him and his coach, putting that out in the public. And the one team that seems to take flyers on players that have troubles is the New England Patriots. Do you see this karma for Antonio Brown, man, Mike? That now this is coming on his shoulders?
First of all, I'm gonna say I'm the first guy that's always like, it's just a conniving chick. Give this guy, you know, think about it. You know, Kareem Hunt, she called him the N-word. That's what set him off. Obviously, it's such an accepted word in our country that everyone overlooked the fact that she called him that and just went straight to, well, he kicked her. I'm not going to defend him here. And the reason I'm not going to defend him here is apparently she had, you know, these messages, these verbal abuse that he, you know, put her through as well. Now, do I think they had some form of a relationship? Maybe. But do I think that she felt pressured into things at times as well? Yeah, because you can see from the social media post that she put that he sent that, you know, there was reason for her to worry about her business. There was worry to get him on board. So, you know, when she says, yeah, he forced me to do these things simply because, you know, whatever it was, whatever business venture, do I believe him that maybe she tried to calm him out of some money? Maybe I do. But like you just said, he's given us all this reason. And, you know, this could be just because of him. He's given us all this reason over the last year to question anything he's done, to question anything he says. How can you believe him? The guy went on and supposedly cried in the locker room in his apology to his teammates. And then that same day in the evening, Friday night, releases a personal private conversation. Didn't even realize he could be breaking the law. We haven't, and that's the funny thing, we haven't even heard the end of that conversation with John Gruden. Because we don't know if they're gonna press charges against him. Because he did, without consent, record a conversation, which is illegal to do in California. No one's even talking about that yet. So his legal troubles might not be over. I don't think John Gruden will do it because obviously I'm sure he just wants this to go away. It's a black eye for his team, but his team was misled. At the end of the day, Antonio Brown said everything he had to say, get out of Pittsburgh, and that included signing a contract to go to the West Coast. He said it. You saw it in the video. I'm coming home. I never wanted to play on the West Coast. He never wanted to be there. Why sign the contract? Why? Because they wouldn't have completed the trade without the contract. So, yeah, I think he snaked them. And I think that the league needs to look into what the Patriots are doing, because the Patriots apparently, and I heard this from, where did I hear this from? Damn. I heard this from Chris Mortensen, ESPN, the Mort Report. He said that he was told, Lloyd, he was told by other teams that was interested in Antonio Brown, but when they called to contact the agent on Saturday morning, they were told that the deal with the Patriots was already done. He already agreed to a deal with the Patriots before he was even released from his contract. Now, you tell me, how is that not tampering? Especially for an organization and the Patriots that filed tampering charges against the Houston Texans for the GM. You know, remember targeting Bill O'Brien, targeting one of their front office guys for the GM position there. They filed a tampering charge and forced Houston to basically cancel their interview request and pass up on that guy for the job. Houston has no GM. How is this not the same thing, if not worse, negotiating with a player under contract with another team while he was still on that team?
That's a great point. And listen, it's not that I watched the game, okay, yesterday with New England against Miami, and Antonio Brown was all over the field during his Patriots debut. But we talk about him being embroiled in his rape lawsuit. And apparently he was nowhere to be found after the game, Mad Mike. He was out of the locker room, cleared out. His area was cleared out. His nameplate was taken down before the media was even allowed into the locker room.
Yeah, because that's what the Patriots do, right?
But here's the thing, no man, Mike, I'm sorry. I just, you know, before you go that, hold on to that thought. But I just want to, you know, give you this little bit of food. Maybe this will, you know, help your thought grow a little bit more. And according to the NFL media policy, teams must ensure that nameplates with players' names and numbers are left in position until after the locker room has been cleared to the media. So they're still breaking rules. The Patriots are still breaking rules. And there's a 10 to 12 minute grace period before members of the media, before the media are permitted to enter the locker room following the game. And the NFL allowed the four-time All-Pro receiver to play, despite a civil lawsuit filed Tuesday by former trainer. Her name is Brittany Taylor. And she accused him of sexually assaulting her on three different occasions, Mad Mike. I'm sorry, I hate to cut you off. I hope you still got your thought. You can fire that thought in before I continue. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, is it not their responsibility, meaning the New England Patriots, to force him to be available, to make him available to the media? Is that not their policy? When players have bad days, for example, Cam Newton, after that horrid Super Bowl, he was forced to stand in there in the biggest, probably the most dejected he's ever been. And everybody crushed him for it, right? So this guy is forced to sit. You know, he's got to make himself available. This is not private. This is not public. But the Patriots have never been forced to answer for anything.
Right.
As a matter of fact, think about it. They got another guy playing over there at safety, Patrick Chung. The NFL not doing nothing. This guy's being brought up on real drug charges. Real drug charges. And he's still on the field. No one's talking about it. No one's saying anything. Because the Patriots dictate what you're allowed to talk about in the media. And the media allows it.
That's crazy. And literally, remember, they forced Marshawn Lynch to sit down. That's when I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yep.
I'm just here so I won't get fined. They made him sit down.
There's nothing. I mean, he just doesn't want to talk to me. As far as he's concerned, as a football player, there's nothing that I have to talk about in the game. What are you going to talk to me about? Most times players don't trust the media anyway because they think that they're just trying to bring up some dirty and you know, star issues. I don't blame them. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about
it. Now, here's the thing, man, Mike. Okay, Antonio Brown had one touchdown. He had 56 yards on four receptions all in the first half. But according to reports, the Patriots, quote-unquote, were blindsided by the civil lawsuit.
Oh, I mean, but this is also the same organization that said there's no room for any of this. We will not tolerate any of it, baseless or not. And I don't know how anybody can call. See, this is why I'm saying I don't know how we can call her claims baseless. She put the angry message from her out there where he admitted busting a nut on her back. That's out there in his own writing. So that's what she's saying. This is not manipulation. You know, some of it maybe, yeah, it is. I'm not going to go as far as say it's not her taking advantage of the situation. But he put it there. How can we argue with that?
And
what else do they have to see?
Here's the thing, man, Mike. But what happens because his legal team has denied all allegations and declined to sign a $2 million settlement with Taylor. Okay, now, if she's asking for $2 million and they're denying to agree with $2 million, don't you think something like that, sexual harassment, sexual assault, is worth more than a dollar amount, man, Mike? You know what I'm saying? So the fact that she's willing, that she's, quote unquote, it seems like she's okay or she asks for $2 million to make this go away, a part of me has me scratching my head, like, why would you want $2 million if this man sexually assaulted you on multiple occasions?
Well, then, and once again, that's exactly what I was just saying before. I'm sure that some of it is just her. She has some information on him. She has some stuff on him that puts him in a bad situation. And especially with that message, you can't deny that what my claims happened. If you're right here, these are your words. But at the same time, I mean, you know, everybody's got their hand out. So she's willing to say, I this happened to me, and I'll accept money to let it go away. And I'm with you. I don't respect that, because I don't think you're doing anything to help the women of this country that are actually going through it. When you're willing to you know, I guess, go forward with a civil suit, but not a criminal suit. But at the same time, remember something: there's a lot less. There's a lot less needed to win a civil suit versus a criminal suit. So, you know, but the NFL is different. Remember something also: the legal system said that Ezekiel Elliott did nothing wrong. The NFL's own investigator said that the female in that case was unreliable, and the NFL still suspended Zeke for 6 games. So,
yo, listen, the young lady is expected to meet with the NFL today. And Brown hasn't said much about the allegations, though he appeared to address them on his favorite place, social media, Instagram. And he was quoted as saying, listeners, in a time of crisis, all I ask is love, dedication, and focus. Stay focused. The devil is going to try to bring you down when you get closer to your goals. The key is don't let him. Really? All the nonsense that you've been doing with the Pittsburgh Penguins, with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Oakland Raiders is not a form of the devil? It's not devilish ways? And you turn around and you say something like that? I was about to let the F-bomb go, but what a effing hypocrite, Matt Mike. What a hypocrite. Antonio Brown, I respect him. I still think he's one of the top 5 best receivers in the NFL, but this dude is a clown, Matt Mike. He's a clown. He's a clown.
Yep. Yes,
he is. In every facet of the word, he fits it. Right at this particular time, if you look up the definition of the word clown, you shouldn't see an individual that has paint on his face with a bright red nose and, you know, fuzzy hair. You need to see his face. He's a clown right now.
Yes, sir, he is.
But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Like you said, the NFL still suspended Ezekiel Elliott. So let's see what happens with that. Let's see what happens with this investigation. And let's see what happens with the New England Patriots. New England Patriots seem like they're just going to move forward, Matt Mike. And the only thing it's going to take is for the NFL to step in and do something. But like you said, will the NFL step in and do something?
Like I said before, they're just going to keep moving on, because that's what they do. Everybody forgets when it comes to them. You know, no one talks about it. Tom Brady's trainer is embroiled in PED suspicion. But we talk about Tom and beating Father Time. We just totally ignore the fact that his trainer is mired in all this PED talk. We ignore the fact that Julian Edelman, who trains with the TB12 trainer, failed his drug test for PEDs just last year. You know what I mean? Instead of us seeing what's going on there and digging it deeper, we give Julian Edelman his own documentary series on Showtime. Aaron Hernandez, we overlooked that. Like I said, you have Patrick Chung. We overlooked that. There's a lot of things we overlook because of the sake of winning. You know what I mean? All the cheating scandals, like you just finished saying, they're still, you know, with their media obligations, they're breaking the rules. And we all just, everything with them, we overlook it. Why? Because they're the story. They're who we want. When everyone finishes this last 20 years in history, 20 years from now, they want to be able to sell the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and all this. They don't want you looking at all the negatives. They want to act like they don't exist, like they were never there. This is the model franchise. Really? You tell me, is this the model franchise when you really pull up the covers?
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Is it really? I mean, come on, bro. If you think about it, think about how the Saints coaching staff was had to battle for their coaching careers because of Bounty Gate.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that in a little while because for some reason another wide receiver won't let that go. But you know what I mean? Like, that just continues to follow him. And Peyton, you know, yesterday, look at how they got robbed in the L.A. Rams game yesterday with them causing a Jared Goff fumble, picking up and returning at 80 yards for a touchdown. And for some reason, even though they're not supposed to call the play dead, they're supposed to let it keep going, the judge behind the play, who's on top of the quarterback, who's there specifically to make calls for the quarterback, remember that the guy behind he doesn't blow his whistle. He lets them keep playing, right? Well, the line judge, for some reason, blows his whistle, blows it dead, and they take a touchdown away from the Saints. This is what I'm saying. I'm bringing it up because I say, you look at an organization like that who they seem to do it right, and it just feels like the league just has it out for them. No matter whatever the league can do wrong to screw them over, it feels like they're doing it. And for the Patriots, it looks like they look the other way purposely.
Yeah, that's a great point. So let's see what happens with that. We'll keep you posted with that, listeners. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some football as the New York Giants were yet an embarrassment again in week 2 in the NFL. And we're going to talk some New York Jets. And Mad Mike's starting quarterback has mono, and he's going to be away from the team. How does this impact the Jets? So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listen, it's the first half of the show. We talk USA basketball as they stunk up the FIBA World Championships. And we talk Antonio Brown and his buffoonery. But now let's move on to my New York Giants, Mad Mike. And the Giants fell at 0-2 for the second consecutive season and the fifth time in the past six seasons when they lost 28-14 to the Buffalo Bills yesterday in their home opener. And none of those five seasons, the Giants lost their opening two games. And they didn't make the playoffs. So making matters even more embarrassing, the Bills, who defeated your team, the Jets, 17-16 last week, are now 2-0 at MetLife Stadium this season, while the Giants and Jets are combined 0-2 in their home building.
We'll be 0-3 by the night.
And they failed to take advantage of a dream start again, like they did against Dallas. They took a 7-0 lead on the opening possession of the game.
Before you go, I'll let you finish, but I got to keep this in my mind. And when you're done making your point, answer my question. There's got to be validity to the fact that your head coach, he can script a game plan, but he is utterly horrific at adjusting in-game to what's going on. And the reason I'm asking you if you think there's any validity to that is because last week and this past week, week 1 and 2, he's been able to script the perfect game plan for the opening drive touchdown.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. My knock on him when the game against Dallas was that he didn't run Saquon Barkley enough. Saquon Barkley only had 11 carries in week 1, man, Mike.
Yeah, but you know what that was about, dude. That was about him trying to hang Eli out to the wolves because they want to push this Daniel Jones thing as fast as possible. Here's what I'm going to say to that. Be careful what you ask for, because the one thing you can't do is blame Eli Manning for the first two losses, because he's actually looked pretty damn decent with a ragtag wide receiver core.
Yeah, and I agree. And the offensive line has looked really good as well. I'm not knocking Eli. You want to know who I'm knocking, Matt Mike? I'm knocking the head coach, Pat Shurmur. I'm knocking the defensive coordinator, Betcher. And I'm knocking the damn GM. The whole entire coaching staff needs to be fired, Matt Mike.
Well, did you hear what Antoine Roll said in the post-game of the New York Giants? And this is something else that I really wanted to get your opinion on. He said either this team doesn't know how to play a 3-4, or this team doesn't have 3-4 personnel.
Man, I can't. It's so funny you said that, Matt Mike. And I was just talking to a friend of mine's over the last couple, 2 weeks or so, it's only 2 weeks in the season, but like about a week ago, after their first game against Dallas, and even before they even started the season, this team does not have 3-4 personnel, man, Mike. When your DNs are Dexter Lawrence II and B.J. Hill, you mean to tell me that those are defensive ends? Are you nuts? So now you have D tackles playing defensive ends, and guess what's happening, Matt Mike? How in the hell are you going to put pressure on a quarterback when you got D tackles playing DN?
I'll ask you another question. How are you supposed to contain the outside against these running backs these days when you have D tackles as defensive end? They're not going to be able to move fast enough.
And they need to stop force feeding us. They don't have the personnel for it, and they didn't even draft. Matt Mike, if they're going to run a 3-4, Matt Mike, they did not draft the correct personnel to run a 3-4 because Josh Allen, okay, the defensive end that's on the Jacksonville Jaguars, he fits the build. So if you're building a 3-4 defense, why in the hell are you still drafting 4-3 defensive personnel?
Well, see, that's the issue that I have with them. That's exactly the issue I have. We could talk about the fact that it took 1 year after being in the 3-4. We talked about this last year for the Rams to decide that Alec Ogletree is not a 3-4 middle linebacker. But the Giants go out and get him. Right before they moved to the 3-4, the Rams got rid of Janoris Jenkins, who the Giants picked up. You know what I mean? So the only reason I'm putting it out there, and yeah, I know the cornerback position is different in the 3-4, but if a team who was going to a 3-4 were arguably one of the best ever coaches to coach it in Wade Phillips, why would you think going after James Betcher, who's James Betcher, you know, Jim Betcher, whatever the hell his name is, what would make you think that he can, if Wade Phillips couldn't get anything out of them in a 3-4, what made you think that this novice could get something out of them in a 3-4?
Yeah, you know what? I think this idiot's entire game is scripted, man, Mike. Like you said, he doesn't adjust to nothing. He has his mind made up what damn plays he's going to run, and he runs those plays no matter what the hell is going on. No matter what's going on. And again, like I did in week one when they marched down the field against Dallas and scored, I was like, uh-oh. Now listen, I'm not expecting this team to be good because I've said this multiple times and so have you. The Giants are going to have a top 5 pick in next year's draft. Hands down. And the way they're playing, they might have the number 1 overall pick. If the Miami Dolphins don't get it, they're going to be running neck and neck for that. But again, they open up this game. 27-yard scoring run by Saquon Barkley. 224 into the game. Then the Giants' defense, which was boat raced by the Cowboys' offense in last week's season opener, stuffed Buffalo on offense to a 3-and-out. Had a sack. I was like, uh-oh. I know it's the Buffalo Bills, but I said, uh-oh, we might win this game, but it's the Buffalo Bills. But maybe we could pull this out. And it was after those two possessions, when the game turned ugly, as the Bills scored the next 21 damn points, Matt Mike. Buffalo tied the game at 7 on a 6-yard keeper by Josh Allen, who was running the ball better than the damn running backs Buffalo had. And after a 3-and-out by the Giants offense, the Bills took a 14-7 lead on a 14-yard touchdown run. They converted 3 third down conversions, Matt Mike, to keep that possession alive, that scoring drive alive. The Giants offense stalled again and again and again. And it's not because of Eli Manning, Matt Mike. Like you said, it's because of the damn play calling. Because of the play calling. I don't know why they keep on throwing a damn. You got one of the best running backs in the NFL, man, Mike. And you're throwing the ball to mediocre receivers. And I've been one to go back and forth with you over and over again. And now I'm to the point where I'm almost ready to side with you. Why in the hell did you draft Saquon Barkley if you're going to throw the damn ball? Why?
I'll tell you why.
They was running the ball down their throats, man, Mike. And they just stopped.
They already showed you why they drafted Saquon Barkley. And that was more because it's easier to... If you would have went and drafted Sam Darnold, and Odell Beckham loved to play with Sam Darnold, then what could you do to get Odell out of here? No, you go and you get the most dynamic player, one that downright contradicts the position that Odell plays, right? Because in order to give the ball to Saquon Barkley, in order to not give the ball to Odell Beckham, rather, you got to have somebody equally as good as him justify it, right? Well, if you're giving a running back a ball, who's definitely not getting the ball in that play is a wide receiver. If you give the quarterback the ball, then there's a big time chance that Odell is going to be the guy to catch the ball. So that's why I think they did it. You can call me crazy, conspiracy, whatever it is. I think they looked at a golden opportunity to turn the fan base on Odell and give him a bona fide superstar, and they did that.
Oh boy! It's amazing, man, Mike, that I cannot expect. I didn't expect much from this team, but I still get angry, man.
You don't get angry with the losses. You get angry with the product, what you see. You get angry because you see in the first drive that Saquon Barkley is absolutely going to go out there and dominate the entire game, and then you see them abandon that, or you see the fact that you know what you're watching is a really bad defense. You know, DeAndre Baker was arguably the best talent. I mean, I didn't buy him as the number one cornerback in the draft, but a lot of experts did, and I'm no expert. And how does he look?
Yeah, he looks.
You know,
oh my God,
he looks like, really bad.
He looks like a deer in headlights, and I still don't understand why they're not playing that Ballantyne kid.
And
what's
here's
the worst
what I'm going to tell
happen,
you,
man, it's, Mike. What's the worst that can happen? You're already getting your brain stomped in on a football field.
Well, yeah, I hear you there. But I'll tell you this.
That, man, Mike, I get it. You know, why didn't they put in Dan? Listen, and it's not a knock on Eli Manning because
I was just going there. I'm going to tell you why.
Well.
I'm going to tell you why not. Because in the end of the day, think about it. You remember that second preseason game that Daniel Jones lit up the Chicago Bears? You remember? And everybody was like, oh, wasn't a fluke against the Jets. Look at what the kid did, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, take a break. The Bears have already said they're not playing any starters. Not one starter played in that game. He played all backup. And then I watched Thursday night, opening night, week one, Bears defense versus Aaron Rodgers. Do you think Daniel Jones would have survived that game? Aaron Rodgers barely survived that game. They won 10-3. And he scored a touchdown on a jump ball toss up to Jimmy Graham. Do you think Daniel Jones would have done anything in that game? I think Daniel Jones' career would have ended that night. They're not gonna put him in again. They're gonna wait until they're playing the Miami Dolphins to put Daniel Jones in, where we all know he's gonna go in there and he is gonna be a stud against a really bad team.
I agree. They have to justify them picking him at 6. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And Betts is saying he knows for a fact that somebody he wouldn't have been there at 17. Bull S.
Yeah. And you want to know what, though, man? And after an 0-2 start and a coach that's been pretty putrid over his entire career as a head coach, here's what I'm going to say. You want to knock all those Daniel Jones haters? Well, why don't you start silencing your own haters after another 0-2 start and probably guaranteeing missing a playoff spot?
Well, yeah, I mean, who do the Giants have? Do they have Tampa Bay this coming week?
Or Washington? You know, I don't even know.
And Washington,
probably
Washington.
One or
two. It's either Tampa Bay or Washington. And Washington, they look good against Dallas. And Tampa Bay won. So it's not like, you know what I'm saying? I was looking at the Giants schedule, man, Mike, and I was like, wow, maybe they can win these games. This team is putrid. Putrid.
Yeah.
Putrid. Let's go into these grades, man, Mike, so we can move on to your team. Because I'm disgusted by these dudes, man. Not surprised, but I'm still disgusted. All right, let's start off with the offense, okay? And as bland as a turkey is on white bread, Mad Mike. Great first drive, and then a whole lot of nothing. More slop on third down. Third and three for 12 on third down conversions, Mad Mike. 3 of 12. And more avoidance in the end zone. Eli was 26 of 45, 250 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Lord knows where the hell he was throwing the ball in that one interception when he threw the ball down the field, which was nowhere near the receiver.
No. See, and it's funny because actually during the game, I did text somebody about that too. I was like, we can't knock him for that because that's what he's made his career on, throwing the ball up and getting lucky from time to time. So I'm not going to go there and say, where was he throwing the ball? He's done that his whole career. We've chose to idolize this man over that same throw. David Tyree.
I'm not a fan. I've never have been. I've gotten into big disagreements. I don't even think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He'll probably get in. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I'm just saying, if you ever think of the David Tyree play, is it not the same thing? It's just a quarterback throwing the ball up into a tight window, double coverage, and his receiver making him look good. His receiver making a play. There was nobody there to make the play.
Yeah, he made routine throws, but nothing more than routine throws.
And I don't know if you gave a grade for the offense.
I did. Well, Saquon Barkley had 18 carries for 107. But like we said, man, Mike, he needs to be more of a factor in the passing game as well. He only had 3 catches for 28 yards. And it's important, you know, he not get too frustrated by all this losing. The best filling receiver was T.J. Jones. Sterling Shepard, who the Giants are being investigated under, being investigated for mishandling his concussion protocol in week one. Yep. I give him a big fat F.
I gave them a D, only because I like what I saw from T.J. Jones. I liked what I saw from Benny Fowler and very, very, very limited use. But I didn't like what I saw from Evan Engram, who his stats are very, very, very suspect because he ends up with 6 for 48, but he was 3 catches for 4 yards going in to that final drive, and he didn't really start doing anything until they played off. And remember, you know, the knock on him in the draft was if you jam him at the line with bigger linebackers, bigger, faster linebackers, he's going to struggle to get open in the NFL because he's going to struggle to get off the line. And that's all they did. They didn't believe that they could get beat deep, so that's all they did.
And before we move on to the defense, Matt Mike, can I just point out that I don't understand why the hell they don't put a fullback in front of Saquon Barkley? There was a stint where he didn't get that many yards on a carry, and as soon as they put a fullback in front of him, he ripped off like a 7-yard run. And instead of going back to the run, what do they do, Matt Mike? They take the fullback out of the game, go to a spread offense, and end up going 3 and out.
Even if they don't, why not play Rhett Ellison there as the halfback? You can keep Evan Engram on the field because we all know Evan Engram can't block. That's why this is why the Giants don't do it. It's because Evan Engram can't block on run plays. He's an awful run blocker. So what happens is you have to put the fullback in, and then everybody knows exactly what's happening. So what I would do is keep him on the field, and I would actually use Rhett Ellison as the fullback. Because of the fact that he plays receiver as well, tight end, it would actually give the defense some cause for you know, just some pause as, can we send the house? Is this guy going to, you know, are they going to pass it, play action pass right here, get us sucked in, and then either Evan Engram, who's already in the game, slide out or you know, whatever. Just more creativity. You're supposed to have an offensive genius behind there, and we see nothing.
Yeah, all right. Now let's move on to this defense, and this unit allowed touchdowns on 3 consecutive first half series. Shredded like a cheap paper towel. And we talked about DeAndre Baker. He had the sort of performance that gets guys benched. And even if they are first round picks, pressure was better. They did have 3 sacks, but not nearly good enough. The Bills had 3 rushing touchdowns and a sign that were in control with the line of scrimmage 2 games in. And this is really a bad group. I can't stress how bad of a group this is. Only thing keeping me from giving them an F, man, Mike, is it was a better showing in the second half than the first half. So I'm going to give them a D, man, Mike, because they did play better in the second half but still they look awful. A D for the defense.
I gave him an F, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because I kind of thought about exactly that, exactly what you said. You know, they played better in the second half. They held them to 7 points only. But how much of that was Buffalo Bills taking their foot off the gas and you know, kind of just being comfortable with that 14-point lead, the way that their defense dominated the offense. You know what I mean? So I just, from that standpoint, I gave them an F, mainly off the strength that when they needed a stop after cutting it 21-14, what did the Buffalo Bills do? They went straight down and basically jammed it down their throat. And then, even though you say, well, they got to stop Mad Mike, and they held them to a field goal attempt. Well, what did they do on that field goal attempt? Your boy Dexter Lawrence over the center, he gets the unnecessary the penalty. They get the ball right back on the 1 yard line, and what do? Yeah. They score the touchdown. So I gave this team enough, the defense enough.
All right, and Aljik Rojas special teams. Aljik Rojas field goal. He missed the field goal attempt from 48 yards in the second quarter, and that ended his streak of 20 consecutive made field goals. Riley Dixon, he had a 58 yard punt. Antonio Hamilton made a great play on punt coverage. He can't cover nobody. They had him start on defense in week one. All right, he made a nice play on the goal line. Cody Core down. Cody Core had a pretty good game. Catching the ball too, man. Mike, I don't even know who the hell Cody Core is. I don't even know where the hell he got him from. And then T.J. Jones had a 60-yard punt return, which the Giants got no damn points out of that. So I'm going to give them a C-plus on special teams, man, Mike.
Yeah, you know what? I had the same grade, a C-plus. I know that Rosas missed the kick, but I just thought T.J. Jones was lights out, man. I just thought he had some unbelievable punt returns. Giants, he gave them great field position. Giants squandered it. I gave them I thought C plus was fair. Because of the missed field goal, they probably don't get the B, but yeah, I thought they were pretty solid.
All right, now let's move on to coaching. And Pat Shermer's 0-2 again. And he needs to find a way to stop the bleeding before the body is cold and buried. This team is cold and buried, man, Mike. He clearly has something going with his offensive script to start these games. But after that, like you pointed out, not so much. And the challenges of working with youth in the secondary is real, but coordinator James Betch he's making it look impossible. And my grade for them, I'm going to say fired. My grade for the coaching staff is fired.
Yes, was fired.
Yes. But I'm going to say fired. I'm not even going to give them an F. I'm going to say fired because they all need to be fired.
Yeah, I don't. I gave them an F too. Like I said, I think, I don't know if they're going away from Saquon over the last, 2 weeks. I don't know if that's by design to keep them fresh because they know they're not going to win. So they're kind of like, preserving him, so to speak. But you can't have a weapon like that offensively. You can't look the way they do on the first drive of games and tell me that it has anything other to do with, than poor coaching and poor game plans. Or lack of adjustments. I'm not going to call it poor game plan. It's lack of adjustments. I mean, the team is not going to sit there and let you punch him in the mouth all day without doing something about it, unless you're the Giants coaching staff who just lets it happen the same way it happened in the first half of yesterday's game. I think James Betcher is a poor coach. Either he's not teaching or he's really bad at calling plays. Either which way, it still falls on him. And, to me, the secondary is proof of that. We knew that they were going to have, we knew it was just Antoine Bethea is his best days are past him.
Yeah, that sign of Matt Mike, but he looks awful out there.
But I was just going to say, even in his best days, if in your best days you're really a secondary safety, secondary guy, then what are we to think of you, when you're, you know, you're on the back nine, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what they were thinking there. I mean, we know what they were thinking. They were thinking, get James Betcher, another James Betcher guy. But it's, you know, it's just poor coached. Like I said, special teams, we gave them a good grade, but I'm going all around F. They just look so lost, man. They look so lost. They're on gameplay in the first 2 weeks just reminds me of the off season. We just felt like there was never a plan this off season, and that's how I felt watching them.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty sure I'll be blowing my stack next week as well. Now let's talk about your Jets, man, Mike. As from week one, and you know they look great, and all of a sudden they managed to let that game slip from their fingertips. But now you have an issue where your quarterback Sam Darnold's absence from his team due to mononucleosis could extend well beyond a month, and it just got to be preparing is he'll not be available for that month. And there's no firm timetable on precisely when Sam Darnold will be cleared because it's very contagious.
Well, the one good thing that you could put out there for that is that he's going to miss the part of their schedule, which is, like everybody said, if they go 2-4, 2-5 to start the year, that's a pretty solid start. So it's not like they were expected to make so much noise.
Come out there with damn hazmat suit on.
But I thought the season was over after week one.
Did you? Did you, man, Mike? Really?
I did. Here's why I'll tell you. Here's why I don't want to be a woe is me guy, but the defense looked really good. They looked really good up until the CJ Mosley injury, but this is not a roster that can sustain injury. This is a roster that I think Mike Maccagnan, if he wasn't fired already and Joe Douglas in place, I think Mike Maccagnan would have been fired after week one, because everything that could have gone wrong, everything that they told us would be the bugaboo of the Jets. The Jets can be a really good team if these things don't happen. If somehow they can find a kicker who's not going to miss kicks, right? They lose by 1 point in a game where they missed a field goal. And they missed an extra point, right? They then traded Darren Lee. They lose the other kid, Avery Williamson, to injury. So now you're already talking about if anything happens, right then and there, you're already down to, you know, linebacker 4 and 5, right? Playing next to C.J. Mosley, starting next to C.J. Mosley. If anything happens to C.J. Mosley, you're now talking about not even the first guy off the bench. You're talking about playing the third and fourth and fifth guys off your bench. Fourth and fifth guys off your bench in a rotation. And that's exactly what happened. And that's you're not going to win. Listen, he has a strained groin. Everyone's over here, oh, we hope he could play. There was never a chance C.J. Mosley was going to play. Right? And then what did they say? They said the same thing about Quinnen Williams, right? Quinnen Williams is going to play. They're going to have to find a way to get him on the end. They're not going to. He's never going to get on the end Henry Anderson on the end and Leonard Williams, right? So now you're playing all these other fronts where he's shifting inside, and yeah, he's looked really good at times. But look, he's undersized for the position, and he gets hurt on defense. So you lost two of your bigger, better, more impactful players. And tell me something else. Why is C.J. Mosley chasing wide receivers? Who thought that was a good idea? Nobody, right? And then the secondary, the cornerback play. Freaking Darryl Roberts. Darryl Roberts is not a starter on any team in the NFL. What made the Jets think that Darryl Roberts can start for them? That's what I'm telling you. Mike Maccagnan did a terrible job this offseason. He deserved to be fired. I mean, he already had the Jets cut Nathan Shepard. Think about this for a second. They cut Nathan Shepard this week, right? Nathan Shepard was a third-round pick last year. They already cut Ja'Kai Polite, who was a third-round pick this year. The Jets don't have a third-round pick over the last 2 years. They've cut both of their third-round picks. With the amount of draft capital they traded for Sam Darnold, how can you be missing on third-round picks?
You're right. And they had a boatload of money to fool around with this year too, man, Mike.
It's their GM, Mike Maccagnan. The one thing I've always had on him, the one knock I've always had was he's too deliberate. He's too slow. The NFL GM world is a fast-moving place. If guys can't get, if you tell a guy looking for money, we'll get back to you, he's going to go to the very next place and get that money. You can't let guys out. And that's what he did. He's so slow moving, man. He's so slow moving.
And the franchise is hoping for a breakthrough season from Sam Darnold. All right, but his adjustments to the new scheme under new coach Adam Gase is being delayed, and definitely due to this illness. And I said mono is highly contagious. And they got to get him away from the facility and under the proper care. And that was an immediate priority, man, Mike. He was quickly ruled out for tonight's game and essentially week three as well, and maybe week four. And there's no set return date at this point. And I'm told, man, Mike, the mono could lead to the swelling of major organs, which is susceptible to rupture in playing a sport like football.
Yeah, the spleen mainly.
Yeah, and it's unknown how quickly his body will recover, how long fatigue will be a factor. Weight loss is another concern. With eating normally often difficult due to the swollen glands and a sore throat and a loss of appetite.
Well, yeah, their biggest concern with him is him losing weight, him losing arm strength, you know, all the things that's going to happen. If you ask me, I think that Sam Darnold is out at least 2 months, a month to get rid of this the illness, and then another month to work his body back into football shape. I don't care what anybody tells me. Anything other than 2 months, I think you're playing with fire. But that's not the only – I mean, listen, we were wondering what happened with the wide receivers in the game plan of week one, and this is what worries me. You know, Quincy Enunwa played that whole first game with a neck injury, and this is a problem I have with Adam Gase. Where was Ty Montgomery, who spent the entire preseason playing and building chemistry?
Right. I didn't see him on the field that much.
He only played four snaps. He only played four snaps in the game. Lev Bell played every single snap. And now look at him. You're so worried about his body recovering and bouncing back that he doesn't play the entire preseason. And then he plays every snap in week one. What were you trying to accomplish? And now he's questionable for tonight because they don't know if his body is fully bounced back yet. It's fully recovered from the first game. It's so stupid. I don't know, man. I think Quincy Enunwa's career is over. But, and I never, ever, ever liked that contract. You can go back to the tape. I never liked that contract. One, because of the neck injury. Two, because they paid him like a top flight number two receiver. He's never shown the ability to stay healthy and be that. And now the Jets still have $16 million guaranteed committed to him over the next 2 years. And he's probably never going to play another down in football.
Now, let's also say that the Jets are monitoring the situation and trying to give Darnold the best care as possible. Now they got to go with Trevor Siemian as their starting quarterback well into October.
The one thing I will tell you that I do like about them being forced to go with Trevor Siemian, Trevor Siemian knows Gase's offense. Demaryius Thomas, who they just traded for last week, he knows Gase's offense, and they do know each other from Denver. So from that standpoint, I do like it, but I don't know what Demaryius Thomas has left in the tank.
I saw him in a couple preseason games when he was with New England, and obviously was in the preseason, and, you know, it's preseason. So you really can't get a good gauge, you know, but I mean, you know, maybe they could strike lightning in a bottle, man, Mike. You never know.
Yeah,
but
I just
this
think...
this secondary, oh my gosh, are they in for... Woo!
Yeah, they're in for a rude awakening tonight. But, you know, I hope not, only because I'll be honest with you, man.
Like, I'm not a big hater. You know I don't like the Jets, but I so hope they beat Cleveland. I do.
Everybody does. And I do want to say one thing, though, and I kind of touched on it a little earlier. I don't like what Odell Beckham did. He's such a mean person, man. He's always got to change talk about himself. And this is what I hate the media for. Odell Beckham comes out and says, Greg Williams told those players to intentionally hurt me. And then and he's like, yeah, the players in this locker room told me that. But then you got other players that are outside of the locker room that play for that team and said that never happened. If you look at the hit, it was a clean legal hit. It wasn't an illegal hit. It never got flagged. Odell just always and the media ate it up. The media ate it up. They attacked Greg Williams. How do you not realize that you got used? How do you not realize that this was intentional? He probably was lying about it the whole time. But to keep himself in the news, because he's got to make this matchup about him. This matchup was not about him. This matchup is now he's coming back to the Meadowlands. Greg Williams said, Greg who? And I respect how Greg Williams handled it. In the end, he said, ha, 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 that was a joke, guys. He's a great player. But why do you guys keep giving him this platform? Why, if you want him to go away, stop feeding into it.
Can we add him to the definition of clown as well, Matt Mike?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
his game. He's not on the level of Antonio Brown, but this dude was playing football with a $2,000 damn watch on his wrist.
You want to know what? And I hope he keeps wearing it, because you know what? I made a mistake of wearing a watch in a game, and I almost broke my wrist sliding, because you don't have the same flexibility. Think about that. Does a watch not kind of restrict your mobility, your wrist mobility? Well, go land on that the wrong way. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think the watch is going to break, or do you think the wrist is going to break? Go ahead. I hope it happens. I'm telling you right now, I hope it happens.
He's definitely a generational talent. No ifs, ands, and buts about that. But boy, oh boy, man, dealing with his antics in the locker room, whoo!
And then I'm going to keep wearing it. You guys made this a big deal. It is a uniform infraction. What if I give you an even better
example. Is NFL making him take that off, or is he? Because I thought I heard him say he's going to wear it every game.
I'm sure he got fined for it, if I recall correctly. But think about this for a second. Don't tell me that this watch is not. It's not. I'm not. You know, screw his safety now. You know, I just finished talking about his safety. Now let's go to the fact that what if a player who tries to arm tackle him or try to tackle him and reaches for him gets their finger stuck in that watch with the way he's running. What if the finger comes out of the socket? What if it rips off the hand? And don't say that's never happened, because we know for a fact that that's happened on a football field. The only reason you don't see it is because the guy still has the glove on. Let's talk about that. There's a reason why guys don't wear watches to play. And it's not just uniform.
Boy, I tell you, unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. But listen, we're going to have a much more to report on this on next week's show. But we get to that point in the show that we all know and love, where we get to hear Mike's rant for the week. And maybe this rant might be a little bit longer, because we missed last week's show due to me being stuck on the side of the road waiting for Triple A to pick me up for 3 damn hours, Matt Mike.
Yeah, holy crap. I've been there, brother. I've been there. Listen, my rant is going to be one, and I ranted on this right before, you know, just a few weeks ago. What the hell is baseball doing, bro? On 9/11, baseball broke the single season home run record for total home runs. Baseball has two teams already at this moment that have both broke last year's home run record. Two teams. And last but not least, I know that you called him a clown. Kids, cover your ears. I'm going to call him an asshole. Antonio Brown, we always talk equality, you know, on this show. I've been pretty consistent, but I'm going to go the other route now. You know what? You want to talk about racism and this white man is a devil and that out get you. They want to see you fail. How dare you call a white man a cracker as a black man? Knowing the force that that word, when they call you the N word, knowing what that means and does to you, how dare you call that man a cracker? Mike Mayock has done nothing to anybody. He's done. He did his job by finding you. He's come out and he says that you need to be here. He's done everything. He traded for you. They gave you a contract. Don't let with the way you acted this entire offseason towards them to come out here, threaten to punch him in the face and call him a cracker. That word, the same way the N-word has no place in that sport, cracker has no place in that sport either. And if we want things to change, we got to be consistent on both sides.
It's a great point, Mad Mike. Great point. Now, listeners, that's going to bring us to a close of this week's show. Me and Mad Mike apologize for not doing last week's show, but sometimes sugar, honey, iced tea happens. But we're back at it again. We want to thank you for sticking with us. As always, we want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for rocking out with us. So listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. And Mad Mike, before we close, what's the Yankees' magic number? Is it 5, 4, 5, 6? Somewhere around there. But they're closing in. They're closing in on, locking up the AL East and positioning themselves for home field advantage. So if the season was to end today, listeners, the Yankees will play the winner of the Oakland Athletics, Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And the Houston Astros will have to face the Minnesota Twins, who I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. But listeners, have a safe and blessed week. And me and the Mad Mike can see you in 7 days. So, hey, yo! We're back, baby!
Yes, sir. Good to have you and Mad Mike back. Yo, Lloyd, I've been there. Been through that AAA life. It's pretty rough. I had to wait 4 hours. I had to get a tow from Yonkers all the way back down to Roosevelt last summer. That was rough. My ignition blew. Anybody not from New York, that's just a very, very long trip. Westchester County to Nassau County. But I've been there. Good to have you back. Good to have the listeners back tuned in to the Lloyd A. Thompson, the Mad Mike Sports Show. If you subscribe, much appreciated. Thank you. If not, make sure you subscribe because brand new episodes drop every single Monday. You don't want to miss anything. As Lloyd would say, you don't want to miss a damn thing. Check out the podcast everywhere the podcasts are available, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you're on Twitter or Instagram, you can hit at Lloyd A. Thompson. That's 2 L's. Chop it up with him. And hit LloydAThompson.com if you have any questions that you want answered on a future episode of the show. Once again, every Monday, brand new episode drops. This show is presented by Part of My Fresh. My name is A.O. Baker. Catch y'all in 7 days. Peace.